The gospel for today is taken from the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So, who are you? Who are you? I mean, when you meet somebody for the first time, how do you identify yourselves? How might you identify yourselves? Your name, that's a good place to start. You might identify yourself by your name. How else might you say who you are? Maybe by your role, your family role, mom, sister, brother, uncle, grandpa, son. How else?
I'm David's wife.
Okay, you're David's wife. Yes.
Child of God.
Amen. I can sit down. I'm done. No, that's right. You might be by your church affiliation or the fact that you know that you are a loved child of God. And that really is the punchline of the sermon. You know, we might talk about our jobs or our occupations, those roles, definitely our names. When I think of that question, who are you? I think about the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland who keeps asking Alice, "Who are you?" And he's puffing on the little pipe, twisting, kind of in strange ways, appearing and disappearing, and poor Alice gets so confused. She says, "Who in the world am I?" And the response is, "Ah, that's the great puzzle. Who are you?" You know, when our kids were little, we used to drill them with that question. Who are you? When we sat at the dinner table, when we drove down the street, when we were on a hike, we'd say, "Who are you?" They would respond usually quite loudly. I don't know why, but usually with the top of their lungs, their full names. First, middle, and last names. And for a little child, our last name is a big mouthful. And then they would say, "Child of Eric and Beth Uto Galarno," and they would give our address, city, state. We didn't make them do the zip code. And phone number. And our hope was that if they ever got lost, that they could answer that question, "Who are you?" with the same confidence that they would answer us. Who are you? Throughout our lives, many times that question is asked of us, or we ask that of ourselves. We're asked to identify ourselves as we begin maybe at a new school or a new job. We relocate to a new community. When we meet people for the first time, when we do something well, when we do something bad, who are you? Who are you? Sometimes we ask this question of others, sometimes curiously, sometimes a little less patiently when they ring our doorbells at dinner time or call us on the phone trying to sell us something. Who are you? Who are you? We may ask this of ourselves even during times of change, times of transition or disaster or loss, when those things that we used to identify ourselves have somehow changed. Who are you? Our three scripture lessons for today address this question. For the early Christians, their answer was critical. How they had identified themselves changed considerably. They were followers of Jesus, but Jesus was no longer with them. Paul wanted the early Christians to be able to answer that question of identity. confidently. In a culture where there are many different idols, even idols created to an unknown God, Paul wants Jesus' followers to know without question who God is. God is the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. God is our heavenly Father. It's important for them to know who God is so that they, like Ruth said, could know who they are as children of God. Paul also wants his readers to know the answer to this question because he knows that Christians in Asia Minor are going to endure great suffering. Their lives depended on their answer. Who are you? So Paul reminds them first and foremost that they are Christians, that they are followers of Christ. And unfortunately, because of this, just as Jesus suffered, they too will suffer at the hands of the Roman authorities. But he's quick to remind them that this suffering does not define who they are. Their identity instead is wrapped up in their baptisms, that they are indeed children of God, God's loved and forgiven children. Who are you? At the Last Supper Jesus enjoyed with his disciples, he wanted them to also be able to answer that question. To answer with an answer that not only had words, but was lived out. An answer that was proclaimed by the way the disciples would live their lives. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, what we don't hear from this portion of the text is that he showed them what that meant by washing their feet. After they shared that bread and wine, he sat down and he washed their feet and he gave them the commandment to love one another. And he's clear, this love is not just a feeling, but it's a way of life, a way of living. He showed them what that meant by serving others throughout his life, by reaching out to the poor, to the lonely, to the lost, to the outcast, to the forsaken. He lived that love when he fed the hungry, when he healed the sick, when he forgave sins, when he touched lepers, when he ate with the tax collectors. This is who Jesus' followers are. People who love, like Christ loves. And we too are followers of Jesus, so this is who we are. People who love, like Christ loves. Today we gather around the table, much like Jesus and his disciples did. We share the meal that Jesus gave us to share and to remember. To remember that we are the body of Christ, that Christ is in us, and we are in him. To remember who we are. We gather to remember because there are many times when we forget. We might get lost in the midst of life's transitions or changes. And those challenges that we face. We may question ourselves. Who am I? We may question God. Who are you and where are you? Many of life's experiences can leave us feeling abandoned or orphaned. Someone once told me, at a time when I felt lost, she said, "You know, when we are lost, there's always the possibility of being found." I like that because even if we forget who we are, God doesn't. God's love is always seeking us out. God's love always finds us, even when we don't feel it, that love is present and with us. God's love is always with us. God's love always finds us. Jesus reminds us today, I will not orphan you. I will send you an advocate, the Spirit of truth, to be with you forever, no matter what. Jesus is telling us, in the midst of those difficult times of change and transition, those times of disaster or loss, and even in those unlovable moments we all have, Jesus says, I will be with you forever. He knows who we are. And he says, you will know me by my faithful love for you. A love that keeps on loving. A love that always brings hope and new life, no matter what. So Ruth, who are you? You are a child of God. Arvis, besides David's wife, who are you?
I wouldn't want to tell all those things.
You are a child of God. You are loved and forgiven, children of God. You have indeed been marked with that cross of Christ and sealed with the Holy Spirit forever. That Spirit will be with you always. This is who we are. This is how we live. Loved and forgiven. Forgiving and loving. And the good news is God is still with us, even if we aren't loving and forgiving. God is always with us, no matter what.